taking the trail of exploring RC crawling? Well, guess what? RC Crawlers and Coffee brings you morning wisdom, the latest rig tunings, and pro tips that you'll need. So call out of bed and stick around.
And welcome back to RC Crawlers and Coffee. Today, Edgar and me have a very special guest.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Morning.
Well known in the RC community and very close friend to me, Jason from JJ Customs. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it, guys.
Today, we just want to start off with, give us a little bit of background for people that might not know you, people that do know you. I mean, a good refresher of what you're going on with your life right now.
Yeah, definitely. JJ, actually, I was just thinking about it actually this morning. We actually been in business now for 10 years exactly, which is hard to believe. So that means I've known you for 10 years, Juan. That's crazy.
Awesome.
Because, you know, you're with me in the garage at the beginning, man, in 2014. So, just hard to believe so much time has passed. And, currently with JJ, we have a nice little store over in San Jose, off of Park Avenue. Been there for a little over almost 3 years now, which is hard to believe. It didn't seem like it's been that long. It's been going great. You know, RJ is running the store for me these days and has been for the last 3 years, actually, at our new location. And it's been a lot of fun, man. You know, just bringing in some new brands that we started a year and a half, two years ago, and been focusing a lot on that. And it's been a lot of fun. And we're actually introducing a micro crawling course indoor. We're going to have that done in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And that will be free to use.
Just there last week, and I saw it. It looks really, really cool.
It's actually looking pretty cool, right? Looks like a little mountainous area. But it's pretty cool, man. It's done with, like, plaster and rocks and, you know, decorative materials also. And it's pretty cool, man. People seem to be liking it. So really excited to do the first crawl over there, you know, and set that up. And we'll definitely post that on our Instagram page on JJ Customs LLC. When we do at least a week in advance so people could come out and check it out.
Yeah, definitely get that up. I like that. 24, everything.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be fun. And that's one thing, you know, it was great about the old stores. We had that big 10-scale crawler course, which was really fun. And, you know, we don't have as much space at the new location for this, you know, for the crawling, but we wanted to do something. And the 24-scale has been so popular in the last, you know, well, since COVID, really, I think COVID is really what put the 24 scale SEX 24 really on the map as far as being like a car that everyone's using these days, you know? So it's been a lot of fun.
No, I definitely noticed that. It's been growing a lot more. And lately, within the last year, it's been growing a lot more.
It really has. I mean, you know, there's so many companies coming out with upgrades and chassis, like, you know, you got Pork Belly doing stuff for it now, don't you?
Yep, we do. Got a whole line though.
So there you go. I mean, it's just a great time to get into the 24 scale. You know, a lot of aftermarket parts, a lot of competition type parts for it, and it's a blast, man. I mean, it's really a growing sector of the industry. So it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting.
It is. I'm excited about that new scent.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, check it out. We actually have one. We got 7 more coming in next Wednesday. And we'll get you set up with the silver or red or whatever you want. I know you're mentioning those were the 2 colors you were interested in. But getting great feedback. The first 5 sold, like, in 2 days at the storefront. So it was really cool. You know, people are really digging it, and the quality of it, and the price is just, you can't beat it, $100.
You can't. It's a really good entry point.
It's so crazy. You know what I mean? They did a great job. I've been seeing some of the guys on Instagram doing side-by-sides with the TRX 4M and the Capra 18. And it's really about the same size. I mean, it looks good. You know, the wheel bases, it looked identical to the TRX 4M. It should be a great car for the price. I mean, it's, you know, something you could dabble into without, you know, breaking your bank.
Yeah, I was looking at Eric had one at his at the shop, and well, actually he has a 110 scale. I'm like, oh man, hey, they're coming out with the 124 version of that thing. It looks pretty badass.
Yeah, it's legit, man.
That red one's cool.
It is definitely. Yeah, we got the 10 scale and the 18 in stock, and they look cool next to each other. Just a smaller version, basically. but it looks solid. Solid. I mean, they Red Cat always kills it with the price points too. I mean, that's one thing that no one could really compete with Red Cat is the price point. I mean, they always come in with, you know, ridiculously low pricing, and it's really hard for like Traxxas and Axial to hit that price point. Even though they have great products, it's just the price point is great for people, especially these days. You know, it's a little tight these days. So it's nice to have something where you get into the hobby or just keep adding to your collection without spending $1,000. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely a great intro level for sure.
Yeah, totally, man. So it's exciting.
Since the beginning, they've been doing great with pricing.
Yeah, they really did, man. I give them a lot of credit for that, actually, because that was the first brand we started selling out of the garage in 2014 was Red Cat. And they were great, you know, for getting people started into the hobby. And what they've done in the last 10 years is insane. Their quality has gone up dramatically. They're doing the majority of their designs here in Arizona, in their area where they are located, and then having it manufactured overseas. So it's cool that they're actually doing the designing here in the USA. That's pretty cool.
I like that.
Nice, nice. Circling back to you saying you started off selling out of your garage, how did that start off, and like how did that like just snowball to, you know, what it is now?
Yeah. Well, you know, how it started was I was so I'm still working around now. I own the other company that I was working for at the time, but I was just looking for a hobby, you know, after work. You know, I was just really, you know, you come home stressed out and you know, you need to do something else other than just, you know, watch TV or play video games. So I got into my first car was a Traxxas Erivo brushless, a 16 scale, one of those mini ones. And
oh yeah, those are fun.
They are fun, dude. It went like 60.
They're zippy.
Yeah, they're super zippy, dude. Super zippy. So I would do like speed runs in front of my house, and it was just a lot of fun. And I just kind of got really, be honest with you, I got hooked. I think the first year of just doing it as a hobby, I think I got like 10 cars. I went crazy, but everyone does. I think everyone, you know, everyone who decides to stay in the hobby, all of a sudden they go from one to 10, like a couple of months. So I did that. And then, I had so many, what happened when my wife started getting upset that I was purchasing so many RC cars. And was like, you know, hey, you know, you got to sell some of these. And I was like, no, I can't part with these. These are like my kids. You know, I can't. It's just crazy. Man,
does it sound familiar, Juan?
Oh, yes, it does.
So I was like, wait.
It just happened.
I started thinking. I was like, well, maybe I could start like a little side business, you know. And that's what I basically started to do. It started with initially with repairs because I really like to work on the cars and upgrade them myself. I really enjoyed that. I'm kind of a hands-on guy with that. And then it just kind of spiraled to going, oh, well, you know, people were coming and having cars repaired and doing through Craigslist ads. And I think that was the way I started, was doing ads on Craigslist actually. And, just started repairing cars locally. And then from there, you know, people, you know, I started building up a client base, you know, and like, you know, had like, you know, probably 15 customers, you know, that were repeat, I would say, that I was doing all their work for. And they were like, oh, you know, it'd be cool if you had the cars to sell too. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So reached out to a bunch of companies, and that's where I met Red Cat, was the only one that would do business with me because I was out of my garage. And which I understand, you know what I mean? You know, Horizon wouldn't do any business with us. Traxxas wouldn't do any business. And it was just because of that. I get it. You got to keep a level playing field. But at that point, Red Cat was not really big yet, you know, and they were looking just to grow their brand. So they were totally on board with doing business with us. And that's how it all started. You know, we just brought cars in and sold them and repaired them. And within 3 years of doing that at the garage, which is where I met Juan, I think in the first year, if I'm not mistaken. And, I looked back at some old videos actually of us. We were interviewing me. It was so cool, Juan. I remember we looked like kids back then. It's a lot of fun.
10 years ago, yeah, man.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. Long time ago.
It's hard to believe. I know it really is. I mean, you know, in our scale of life, 10 years is a pretty good portion of it. And then from there, yeah, it just like the sales kind of got to a point of where going. You know, it was really the amount of people that were coming to my home, where it was increasing, and I was like, oh my god, this is getting kind of, you know, it's getting big. It's getting bigger. You know, I should get a store. You know, I think I could afford to get a storefront. And I took the leap to get a storefront after 3 years. So that'd be, I guess, 2018. And then we went to the new storefront in San Jose. And it was very successful. I was very lucky. You know, the industry really embraced us. I was, it was really an honor, to be honest with you. I just couldn't believe how much love that we got. And it was very humbling. I mean, to be accepted by the community. And yeah. And then from there, yeah, we just continued to grow the business with Marvin at the time. Marvin was there. Unfortunately, God bless him, he passed away during COVID. But he was a good man and he did a good job running the store and made sure everyone had fun.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was a great man.
Every time I saw him, always a smile on his face, laughing.
He loved RC so much. And he did it every day. You know, he was a real RC enthusiast. He really did what he didn't only sell the cars. He didn't only repair them. He like drove them every single day. Like you guys, he's just, yeah, just a good guy, dude. So it was just a great time during that time frame together. We did a lot of fun stuff. We had that big crawler course with all the rocks and indoor, and it drew a lot of people in. And obviously, we didn't charge for the course. We just wanted people to come and have fun. And it was just amazing. It was just a really cool thing. You know, we had families that would come every Sunday and be there all day and crawl. And it was like Chuck E. Cheese for RC cars. And it was just awesome, man. It was just a lot of fun, a lot of good memories from that, a lot of good times. That was really the big leap for us from going from the garage to that. And it was just a lot of fun. And I just wouldn't change anything. It was just a great time frame for us, and learned a lot and met a lot of people, and got involved with Horizon Hobby then at that point, since we had a storefront. Traxxas, we set up an account with Traxxas at that time too, and also HRP, which is a less known distributor. And we also hooked up with A-Main Hobby, since they actually distribute to other hobby shops. So at that point, we pretty much had the ability to sell everything, since we had the store now. And it was just a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember, I think, when I first started the RC hobby, it was during COVID. And I think your storefront was off of 101, right? 101 and was it 880?
Yes. You could actually drive over 101 and see the sign at the time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing was, it was so hard. Well, I think at the time, I think you – was the shop closed for a little while? Because
we closed for 11 months, like basically right when COVID hit. We closed for, almost a full year. And then once it was just such a crazy – oh, go ahead, Edgar. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. My nothing's struggling here. No, what I was remember seeing is that at the time I had this Basher and it had a Poseidon motor. I don't know if you remember that brand. I'm pretty sure you do.
Yes.
It was a purple Poseidon motor and I couldn't find a replacement. And I went online and I was like, man, and I was like, I didn't know any hobbies. I didn't know anyone in the area. I hadn't met Juan just yet. And I was like, man, I need to get a replacement for this Poseidon motor. It's pretty cool, but it burnt up on me.
Right.
And surely, like, I went online and you were, I guess on their website, you were one of their suppliers.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I wonder if this place is like a sushi place where they open up in the mornings and then close in the afternoons and open up at night.
Right.
You know, because I was like, this place is always closed, but I kind of put two to two together because of COVID. But yeah, I did see the pictures. I mean, I wasn't lucky enough to go to that first shop. I've been to your current one.
Right.
But yeah, no, so that's something I remember from JG Customs. Like, man, where is this place? You know, it was kind of a trip, but.
No, totally. I know that was such a crazy time. It really was. I mean, COVID changed the world, man. It was just so, we never saw anything. I don't think actually the world ever saw anything like that.
You couldn't buy toilet paper. I mean, that was crazy, you know, let alone on RC.
I know. It was nuts. I remember the toilet paper was the big thing, right? It was like impossible to get. I was funny watching meme videos on the toilet paper usage and how to use it. It was pretty – always laughed. there were some good ones. But yeah, it was it's so awesome though that we.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask you, did you see an increase in your sales during COVID? I mean, I know you were shut down for that little bit of time, but I think a lot of people picked up that hobby during that time.
Yeah, you know what? That's true, actually. So, like, when the 11 months we were off, I know the other local shops, NorCal Sheldon's, were thriving. They were doing well. You know, they couldn't go in the store, but, you know, they were doing, I think, like, outdoor kind of handoff on things. And when we came back, you know, a year, it was still, like, I think another year and a half of COVID after that. But, yeah, no, it definitely did increase because, like you said, there was people who were looking for things to do, new hobbies, and it really opened the door to, you know, exposing, like, the RC world. I mean, it's, like, it's so cool, you know. And, yeah, no, definitely increased for sure. It has been, I think, the economy, what I've noticed, at least in the last year, is it hasn't been nearly as good as when COVID, when we came back, it was strong, really strong. But it's really tapered off in the last year as far as how busy it's been. You know, still enough to stay in business and to make it work and to grow our brands and whatnot, but not like it was when COVID was going. I mean, it was definitely thriving. It was definitely thriving.
Yeah, I think it was everything from hobbies just like blew up. I mean, it was bikes. You couldn't buy a bike.
Right.
You go to bike shops and they're all sold out. I think a big thing at the time was too, manufacturers weren't making anything because everything was shut down.
Right.
So I remember it was even a struggle to get like axles or housings or replacement parts. Like the resale value on parts was ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I remember seeing Vanquish axles going for like $800-$900, and now you see them for like $200-$300. It was crazy.
You're right, and that's the truth, though. It's the supply. The supply chain was broken. You know, it was. You know, it's sad truth is not much stuff is made in the U.S. anymore, and you know where this or you know where this all started is where all the stuff is being made for the most part, and yeah, the supply chain was just broken for a while. And then it was just really hard. And then also the shipping was messed up. And, you know, when they shipped their crates over, I mean, they were months behind on trying to get parts through the ports for these big companies that order in, you know, like crates at a time, you know, like people like Red Cat and Horizon Hobby and Traxxas. And it just stopped all their supply. And it was crazy. It was really crazy. It was very hard to get parts, and the parts that were existing, like you said, were like four times more expensive. But I guess it comes down to that supply and demand, right? It's like if you have it and people can't get it, you know, people charge exorbitant rates for it, you know?
A premium, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's one thing I always tried not to do, you know, being in the hobby was like, you know, even still, like we have some vintage parts that, you know, you see people on eBay selling for $100 and we're still selling for $10, whatever the original price was. And, you know, just how we are, you know, not saying anything bad about anything, you know, you got to make an extra buck here and there, but yeah, you know, we're pretty good about that, you know?
Yeah. I see that you guys are very, well, I mean, a lot of your shirts say, you know, you guys are very family oriented, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally, man. I mean, it all stems from like the garage, starting in the garage. And it was like, cause I mean, literally it was in my house and people knew my family, my kids, my wife. So it really kind of started there. I mean, you know, Juan was a big part of that, really. I mean, one of the one percenters, you know, in biker terms for sure. And yeah, we really just all became really close and we cared about each other's families and, you know, we, you know, make sure we're all healthy and doing good. And that's how kind of it really all, and even today, even though I'm not at the shop really anymore much, you know, and RJ is there running it, it's still the same atmosphere. And it's, you know, I was very particular on the people that I got involved in the business. I always wanted just, you know, a low amount of employees, but people that actually knew what they were doing and were really invested in the hobby. And also not only that, not only knew what they're doing, weren't, I don't want to use the word cocky, but it really is that about what they know. They're not like that. They're very like, there's no stupid question. And that's how we kind of.
Well, they're very humble.
Very. Yeah, you have to be. I mean, you know, we got to remember we're playing with toy cars. You know what I mean? We're not building spaceships, you know, and this is something people are supposed to have fun doing and you're supposed to help them grow and their knowledge and you learn from them too. I mean, I've learned so much from Juan in the last 5 years, probably because he just got so invested with his crawling, and he's like a PhD in crawling now. But you just learn so much more. It's like you go from being the teacher to being the student. And
things are changing like so quickly. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's the amount of chassis and components there are now for crawler. It's grown actually quite a bit in the last, what do you want to say, Juan, like the last 2 years?
2 years.
Because yeah. I've only been in RC for three, like I said, right in the start of COVID is when I got into it.
Right.
And it started with bashers and, you know, then slowly got into crawling. And there's only X amount of chassis and components you can buy at the time. And now it's like you have this plethora of just companies just releasing different components, and it's grown a lot. Actually, it's kind of crazy the stuff that, you know, it's available now.
Yeah, it really is. No, it really is. It's impressive, man. It's so crazy, like how in particular the crawling really seems to have grown like a lot. Like you said, right around COVID time, and it's just really neat to see. I mean, it's great for, you know, all these guys, you know, trying to start businesses and get a piece of the American pie, the dream. And it's awesome, man, to see people thrive, you know, and learn from their mistakes and grow. And it's just how it is, you know. And, you know, but the key is listening to the people using your products and then adjusting from there. And these people that are making this stuff are really seem to be all about that, because they're just like us, just a person doing their thing. And, you know, they just want to do it as good as possible. And, you know, more input, the better, really. And, it's great, man. Right. It's really cool. And a lot of local businesses, you know, it's just amazing. You know, it's just, really neat. I mean, the Bay Area seems to produce a lot of, technology as far as, you know, designs and, you know, different ways of doing things to make it do a better performance. And, it's awesome, man. I had nothing but respect for everybody who's trying to support the industry and trying to grow it and just get always the cutting edge, you know, always trying to take it to the next level. It's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. So how does it feel to build this, you know, local empire of RC and be able to like just kind of hand it off to someone now and be like, hey, you know, you run my shop and you go, yeah, you know, now you're able to enjoy your personal life. You
yeah. Know, like, yeah. No, totally, man. I mean, you know, my original, the job that I still do today, taught me a lot, to be honest with you. And it was really hard handing over the reins at the beginning. You feel like you're losing something, you know? And then as I got older, I realized actually that's what it's all about. I can't keep doing the same thing, or I'll be doing the same thing until I'm 80. And I wanted to grow and do more for the hobby. And doing that, I was able to, it was great. You know, I was able to hand it over to RJ and have him run it and deal with the day-to-day operations. And it gave me a chance to focus on, you know, the other brands that I've been starting and trying to maintain and grow. And, you know, Speed Tech RC and RC Hop Ups and Fly High RC. And been primarily focusing on the online sales, trying to grow the brands, get the parts in as many people's hands as possible, and just trying to grow it, you know. And it's been a lot of fun. eBay has been a great source for that. They have a great platform, and eBay is what we've been using to sell those brands. And in addition to the storefront, obviously, but it's been great, you know, shipping worldwide every day. And I'm very honored to do that. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of work though. You know, you're dealing with a lot more customers because, you know, within San Jose, you can only touch so many people. Right. But yeah, when you start going across the United States and the world and selling, you know, it just, you're dealing with a lot more people. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work because, you know, you really are trying to maintain that level of customer service virtually, basically, and I'm trying to offer the same support I would offer at the JJ Custom storefront, but doing it through email or whatever to make them, typically email, but, you know, tens of emails going back and forth with questions and per customer sometimes. And but it's really what it's all about. Like, I'm happy to answer the questions. I want to answer the questions and get them feeling comfortable with it, so then they could, you know, use it and then purchase more products that they want to try out. And it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's been great, you know. And it's that's what it's given me the time to do, is focus on that. And also my family. I have two kids, 10 and 6, actually. So they're growing pretty quickly. And
those are fun ages, man. Enjoy them.
I am. They're great kids, too. God bless them. Two boys, Nikki and Vinny. And they're my buddies. I love them so much. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a different feeling, definitely. Yes, but yeah, being a father, it definitely, you got to weigh those options. Like, do I work myself to death and not enjoy their presence, or do I take the time off and, you know, kind of enjoy seeing your kids grow up? You know, it's a hard choice to make sometimes, but
it is, because it's like, you know, you could easily convince yourself, which I did at the beginning, going, oh, I have to do this, so then we have a place to live, we have a nice lifestyle and all this stuff. But then you realize, you know, you could still do that without working to 4 a.m. Like, and that's one thing I had to adjust, was like, I worked a lot, you know, and but the time I got with the kids were quality. It was just me focused on them like a laser beam. But now I've backed off more in the last 4 or 5 years, and focused even more on being a father. And Juan could attest to that. Juan knows how, I don't want to use the word crazy, but how invested I was in the businesses. And you get kind of like horse blinders on. And Juan was always a voice of reason, you know, making sure I stepped back and realized how important it was to spend time with the family, because he's such a good father and he does do a great job with his kids. But it did help me. That did help me refocus my energy, you know, and that's the thing, you know, you have a small group of people that you really count on for advice and counsel, and you just listen and you just try to your best to implement it, you know. And sometimes it's hard because we're stubborn or whatever it is.
Focused. That's what it is.
Yeah, very focused. That's a nice way. And that's the truth. That really was. I was just hyper focused on this one thing, and then 4 things growing with the brands, and then going, oh my God, what am I doing? I have no time to do anything. And then finding a way to back off with the main one and then kind of try to grow the other ones in the background. And that's what I've been doing really for the last year and a half, 2 years. And I really enjoying that, you know, really enjoying it.
And those moments are so valuable. But as you get older, you learn how to balance your family and your work life to make the best of both.
That's a fact. And that's true, Juan. You know, that's what I love with getting older, right? You get wiser when you get older. That's the idea. You know, that's one thing now. I just turned 46 last weekend, which is hard to believe that I'm almost 50. That's just nuts. But it's exciting in the way that you go, okay, what's the 50s going to bring? What's the 60s going to bring? It's like you're learning more about life, more about yourself, more about, you know, how to be a better person, you know, and what's important. What's important, you know, like what's important in my 20s and now is 180-degree opposite. So it's pretty cool to see how much things change.
That's definitely true right there. I mean, I know I've seen Juan and myself kind of grow, you know, like we do a little bit less RCing now than we did in the last maybe couple years. But that's because our kids are growing up. You know, I got a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And so then that, you know, that's at the point of life where they're starting to get their own little personas and their own little attitudes and their own little, you know, mood swings. So, you know, you got to pay attention to that stuff and really take care of it. Because if you really do start ignoring it, it just, you know, it can go sideways really quick. But, yeah, I mean, even with Juan's kids, I mean, they're growing up. I mean, his daughter, my daughter are like besties. They're classmates too. So I see the little changes in both of them, you know, and it's funny to see them, you know, be involved also in RC, not as crazy as we are, but they like, you know, they go out and be like, Dad, can I go with you today? Stephanie's going. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's go. You know, so I got her little TRX4M and it's cool to see that too, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Anytime, you know, and that, like, you've made a great point about keeping your kids on the right path. I mean, because it once it gets off the path, it's hard to get them back on, you know? So if you could just be there, focus on them, see what's happening in their lives and try to help them stay on that straight and narrow, that's important. And that's a full-time job too, as you guys know. I mean, it's not easy, but it's still, I'm sure you guys agree, is the best job you'll ever have, being a parent. Having your boys and girls involved in the hobby too is fun. That's really fun because then you get them to go out with.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Whether it's this or fishing or whatever it is, it's something you do with them. You know, that's the beauty about these hobbies.
Right. Right. Because I remember you had.
Get that quality bonding time.
Yeah. Quality. That's what it is that, you know, those memories to where, like, you know, we have, I'm sure, I know we all do have those memories where they're vivid that you remember as a kid and going, it just impacted your life. You know, as a kid, it's easier to impact your life than it is as an adult. So it just, you know, it's so important to make those moments matter and make those moments. So the kids can look back and go, I remember when dad did this with me or mom did this with me, or we did this together. Super important, super important.
Well, touching on that point, what got you into RC? Like, it was something that you wanted to, like I said, I know you mentioned earlier, you know, something to just do something outside of, you know, work. I mean, what was that, you know, the first thing that triggered him? Like, you know what, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that RC. Yeah. Like, I'm going to get into
it. I'll be honest with you. It was actually my wife's brother. He was visiting from Chicago, and he stayed with us for a decent amount of time, you know. And he's the one who kind of actually really re-exposed me to it. Originally, I had, you know, RC cars growing up, right? Like, you know, the Grasshopper and stuff like that. My dad, that took like a whole day to build it, but... you know, and then I got
back. Man, you had the nice stuff. I had a cord. I had to follow mine behind, you know. had a cord.
Yes.
You remember those?
Yes, I do. And I also remember when I used to go to Radio Shack as a kid, looking at the cars, thinking they were, so they always look cool, though. I got to give them credit. They had some cool looking.
Radio Shack.
Yeah, I miss that. Radio Shack. That was another great company. But yeah, when he came in town, we, you know, I guess he was doing it as a hobby previously. And I knew about the hobby, but I haven't been around it for like 12, 15 years. And, he convinced me to get one, and that's how it kind of started. And then once I got it, it just spiraled. And then it sprouted into that story of, like, you know, the 10 cars immediately and then started the small business, you know. It was really cool. But yeah, originally it was him that, exposed me to it again, re-exposed me to it. And, it just kind of started from there. It was really cool. It was really cool. I'm so happy I got into it because, I mean, I would have never thought that, that first RC car again, as a, you know, young adult would turn into what it has turned into, you know.
Yeah, your own company, your own branding.
Right. And it's been so much fun. I mean, it's, you know, there's always ups and downs, and it's very emotional doing that, building a company and trying to build a brand and trying to make it work. But, you know, it's been a blessing, and I'm so happy that I did it and still glad that I am doing it today. And, you know, it's so interesting. It's just, and things change, you know. It's funny because just things change so much, and you just have to readjust and then try a new routine or try this or try that to make it work. And, it's been fun. It's been a challenge, but it's been fun. You know, it's something I do love. And, thank God for that, because I probably would have given up a few times if I didn't love it, you know, because, you know, you face moments that are really hard. I mean, closing the first door for COVID was really difficult for me. And emotionally that was very hard to do. You know, with the friends around me, inspiring me to keep going and to do it and to, you know, to reopen the store. And that's how it happened. You know, I mean, it really, I can't take all the credit at all. It's really the close group of people that I have that I counsel on and that I, respect and, for advice, you know, and, you know, without them, I don't know if I could have done it again, you know, and that's just being honest, you know. It was a very difficult time. COVID was really hard. Really hard.
Yeah, right. And at what moment did you, like, kind of take a step back and realize, like, oh man, I made it. Like, this is, it's what I wanted it to be.
To be honest with you, I don't think I've even had that feeling yet. And it just because
okay.
You know what the problem is, brother, is I constantly move the line. Like, I don't really celebrate any of the and that's my own fault, you know, and I don't suggest that. I wish I really took more time to enjoy each milestone, and I just don't. And I wish I did. You know, it's just I keep moving the line. I go, oh, great. And then 10 minutes at night and 10 minutes celebrating. In my mind, 1 minute going, oh, good job, Jay. Okay, and then I go to the next thing I'm trying to do. And it's just the way I am. You know, it's not necessarily a good trait in my, because you can't really enjoy what you've done, you know. And, you know, it's just and that's the thing, too. It's like I don't really see myself as anybody important, and that's just being honest. You know, I just keep moving forward, brother. You know, just keep moving forward, you know, but I think that's what also keeps me humble, you know, is because, hey, what's up, buddy? It keeps me really humble.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing, handsome?
Good.
Good, good.
You want to introduce him, Juan?
Yeah, I got my son over here. He just walked into the room looking for his toys.
He's a great boy. God, he's getting so big. God bless him. I know.
Man,
I know.
In the blink of an eye, you'll see him grow up. It's crazy.
It really is, man. And that's our legacy right there, is our kid. You know, no matter what we have in life, it really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is our kids and what they think of us. And, you know, they continue our legacy, you know. But yeah.
So speaking of kids, you think you're going to pass down what you got going on to them?
Yeah. So that's the idea, right? I mean, you know, that's the idea, that, you know, with JJ Customs, you know, Speedtech, RC Hop-Ups, and Fly High, we could, they could do whatever they want. The idea is that I want, and this is the thing, see, that's probably why I also don't celebrate anything, is because I'm not there yet. I'm not to where I think I need to be. And where I want to be is to have a corporation where I have, you know, people per position doing things, and then have the kids be able to come in when they're old enough and, you know, learn the fulfillment side, like shipping, that kind of stuff, and then learn about their products and learn about, you know, what products to bring onto the market and all that. But yeah, I mean, the idea is that I want to have I really want to grow all of them to where they're legitimately, you know, decent sized companies, you know, medium to large sized companies, and to where they could really, you know, yeah, ultimately own the companies, because I can't take anything with you. And that's the reason I'm doing it, is to leave something for them, you know. And that was the thing, like, you know, I always told myself, like, there's nothing better to invest than yourself. And what I meant by that was, you know, no one's going to work harder for you than you. And that's one thing that's, I always do, you know. It's like, you could invest your money in things, but they're the best investment you can make is in yourself. And I just want to be able to build something where they can then have it, you know, and I can just go off into the wind, you know, and, when my time is up, it's up, you know. And, and I have something, at least I left them financially, to where they could fall back on or have an additional to their career, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I just want to leave them with some opportunities, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. That's why I do what I do. And in addition to being able to, like, you know, with RJ, being able to support him and give him a lifestyle, and have a positive work environment, a place he really enjoys to be. That kind of stuff is really important to me. You know, it really is. Even at my other job, Semi-Probes, you know, with the people, I did things different. You know, I treat everyone as family, and, I'm so glad I did, because, not only do I have the best employees in the world, coworkers, I call them, they're not even employees, coworkers. I have good friends, you know, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, it really has.
Yeah, it looks like you're having fun, man. I mean, you got a bunch of, you know, like you said, it started off on, you know, selling it in your garage, and now you've got, you know, your company's growing. So it's got to be fun, man. And you got to celebrate yourself, man. 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something. I mean, that's not an easy task to do. A lot of people usually fail between the first 2 years and they give up, you know, and you push through COVID and, you know, you're pushed 10 years strong with, you said, I think you got three other companies, right? That you have.
Yeah.
A huge accomplishment. I think, you know, congratulations on that, but yeah, you should do something, bro. Go get, you know, a steak dinner or something.
Right. No, you're right. You're 100% right, brother. And that's something I need to work on for sure. I mean, that's one thing that, we all have to realize. We all have, our problems, insecurities and stuff. And I know most times people don't talk about that stuff, but I think it is good to talk about because it just makes it easier to open up with people. And Wonka even attests to that. That's just how I am as a person. You know, I'm very, like, I talk about stuff that people typically don't talk about. And I think it makes people open up and then feel more comfortable talking to you, because for me, not everyone has that in their life, and everybody needs to have something to talk about. You even see, like, Elon Musk talking about him taking the medicine for depressant medicine. And I give him a lot of respect for even saying that publicly, because no matter how powerful you are or how good, you know, you have it, it's, we're still human. We're still human. And everyone has those thoughts of, you know, it's just difficult. It gets difficult, but that's the thing that's really important is friends and family, you know, and you know, keeping your motivation, keeping moving. But you're right. I do need to take the time to celebrate, you know, these small achievements or big achievements in some situations, I guess. But yeah, it's just always pushing. I just got to stop pushing that line forward, you know, just erase the old line and go forward another foot, you know, and, yeah, you're right. I need to take more time to step back and enjoy the successes along the way.
Fruits of your labor.
Right. Because it doesn't come easy, and it's a lot of failures to get where you want to go. And that's the thing, right? So I've had, you know, it looks to the public as like I've had like a few good successes, you know, but I've failed probably 10,000 times. So, you know, even small decisions.
Oh, no, but that's the thing. You have to fail. You have to make mistakes in order to grow.
Right. Exactly. And so for me, I that's the thing, is like the failures outweigh the successes. But that's probably why, now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it, is probably why I don't focus on those as much as I should. Because I always like, oh, I messed up this. And you're thinking about that. And it can even be small stuff, like, you know, I mean, not even gigantic things, but you know what I mean? It still affects your mentality and the way you think about it. And it definitely keeps me humble for sure, because I'm my own worst critic. And that's a fact. It's just how we are, I think.
But it also definitely helps just to be supported by all these positive people. Your second family give you all these ideas, all these motivations, and just keep you moving forward, you know?
Right. And you're right, Juan. And, you know, that's the only one thing I like for me, like, I love to give, and it's hard for me to receive sometimes, you know, and it's, but that those times and like where I really needed it, like to get through COVID and start the store again, it was people like you that got me motivated and reminded me of, not, I want to say who I am, but like, you know, what I've done and what I'm about. Like, you know, Jay, you're Jay, you got to do this. Like, come on, man. You know? And it's just like, that really inspired me to keep going. I mean, you know, and because it's hard sometimes, you know, but, you know, you just got to stay positive and keep positive people around you. That's what's so important, is you got to keep positive people around you. Cause if you don't, when you fail, not if, when you fail, you won't get back up, you know, and those people help you get back up, you know, and that's just the truth. You know, I didn't do any of this myself. I had a lot of friends and the background motivating me, keeping me on task, and much respect to them for doing that.
Oh, sounds like an amazing journey, man. So speaking of that, what do you plan for the future? Like, is there something that you want to kind of touch on what you got planned?
Yeah. So like with the current state of where I'm at personally, I'm just trying to grow these other brands, you know, these other businesses, and trying to do that really through the online presence and the eBay. Using eBay as a platform is huge. I haven't really dabbled with Amazon yet. I know they're way bigger of a platform than eBay, But it seems like RC stuff, a lot of people go to eBay. I could be wrong, but I know I always did. So I, you know, been kind of focusing on that and then trying to transfer those customers over to my direct websites and, you know, do business there. And, but it's a tricky process because eBay has everything, and it's much easier for someone to go on eBay and buy from 10 stores and get what they need than go to 10 different websites. So, I mean, I totally get the idea and why eBay and Amazon is so big or are so big. But yeah, basically I want to grow those brands into their own entities really, and to where they could really sustain themselves to where, you know, we're not helping each business, you know, if one business is doing good, trying to, you know, then funnel money into one of the other ones and, you know, back and forth, that kind of thing. But I really want to get all of them. My goal is to get all of them self-sustained, and kind of doing their own thing, you know, and then once that happens, I really don't know what the, to be honest with you, I really wanted to start an RC brand, like actual cars, like have cars eventually, but that's going to be a while out.
Oh, okay. So you want your own like actual RC.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I really using Horizon Hobby as a model. I think they're the perfect model, right? They have Spectrum, you know, they have, their components that go in the cars, right. You know, and that's where I'm starting with the components, you know, the axles, the gears, the, wheels, the tires, you know, I sell all that stuff, but not the whole car yet. And the idea is that I could use, you know, start another brand. I don't know what it's going to be called, but eventually it'd be another brand. And then I would use these other brands that we have to supply the parts and to put the parts in it. So it'd be like, you know, kind of like what Horizon does with, you know, Team Losi Racing and Arma, how they build a car that was, you know, with their two brands, and they're just genius. I mean, they're geniuses. I mean, I give them so much credit. Like their business model is perfect. It's crazy. Like, you know, they're every single step they're buying from each other or selling to each other. I mean, it's just such a smart thing in my mind, you know, looking at it from the outside. So eventually I would like to do something like that, but, I don't know how far that way that is, you know, but, that ultimately that would be the final goal with the brands. And then if that happened, it would give me the ability, because obviously you would have more money to, like, I know this sounds crazy, but I wanted to have like a Disneyland for RC cars, basically, to where people
that'd
could
be awesome.
You know what I mean? So it'd be like literally like just like a Disneyland park size park. I mean, you know, that's the legacy I want to leave with the businesses, is like, you know, to be like, have that kind of impact. You know, I just want people to have fun. You know what I mean? That's the end game, is just making enough money to be able to do that. You know what I mean? And that we're talking, that's like when I'm 80 and I'm on my deathbed, I'm like, oh, I finally did it. You know, it's like, you know, but ideally that's what I wanted to do, is like to have a place where people could go and drive their cars with their family and do stuff like that. Like an actual, like an amusement park, for RC cars, and have like different worlds, like crawling world and a bashing area, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's not something.
Yeah, and honestly, there's nothing like that around here. I mean, now I was right. Actually just talking to Eric, and we were talking about, like, man, there's nothing here like that we can, aside from the parks that we get kicked out of sometimes,
right?
Or, you know, state beaches or whatever. There's really isn't a concentrated area where we can just go out, you know, do our crawling, do our bashing, do our track racing or whatever. You know, right. There's always something, or the weather. You know, there's time where people take time off of crawling because the weather's so crappy. So if you had like this indoor place where it had, say, all your obstacles that we're used to, like, you know, a beam, like a beachfront crawler course, and then you had like a park, you know, and it was indoors. I mean, I think that'd bring in some money, but it's just getting to that point.
That's, you know, the tricky.
It's a lot of investment.
Exactly. And especially in the Bay Area, God, land is so expensive. And it's just crazy, you know, and there's not much land available, you know, where there is. But yeah, you would literally have to buy like a nice size complex and just make a gigantic warehouse, basically. And, you know, then kind of dice it up in there. And yeah, it would take some major money to do that. Yeah, that's the final dream, I guess I should say, you know, is to be able to do that. You know, I don't know if it's going to get there, but I'm going to try, you know.
No, that's awesome, man. That'd be epic, you know, if that ever happens. I mean, I'm pretty sure you keep your mind on and, you know, launch your brands and the companies that you know you're building, and I'm pretty sure you'll get there, man.
Thanks, Edgar. I appreciate that. I figure one battle at a time, and you know, just I just don't know if I'm going to run out of years. You know, I'm like, as I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, you know, so I'm trying though. I'm trying. And worst case, the kids take it over. Not worst case, but best case, the kids take it over and they're able to continue. But I just want to have it done to where they can just enjoy it. They may have to continue my mission and pick up where I left off, kind of thing. If they want, you know, and if they don't, then, you know, obviously whoever would want to, that, you know, who knows, you know, you never know. Just long if it continued, you know, that's right. The main, but yeah, I would love for the kids to do it ultimately. That'd be amazing, but I just want to, whatever they want to do in life, you know, I want to support that. And if it's not what I've been doing, I totally get that, you know, it's just, you know, but I definitely would love for them to do that. That'd be really cool.
So do you ever take them out crawling or bashing out to the park to have fun with RC cars?
Yeah, you know, not as much as I used to. As they got an older, we haven't done that as much. At least my older one, the one who's actually 10. They're really involved in the electrical devices these days, you know, and that's a tricky thing. Like, you know, we actually got them the virtual reality things for Christmas, and, you know, obviously they can't do it too much each day, but, you know, they very, and their friends too, also invested in their friends right now. They're really invested in, you know, going over their friend's house and doing things like that. And, you know, we get their friends to come over here, which is nice. And then I still spend time with them. Yeah, it's crazy, you know, just the, they just really enjoy, they're like social butterflies right now. Even my youngest one, because he seems to be growing up much faster than my oldest, because he has my oldest there as a guide, really. And, they love spending time with their friends also, and, doing things with them, and, you know, it's fun. But yeah, we do stuff still, and not as much as the RC anymore. But, you know, we normally hang out and, you know, go outside and do things like go to the park, go on a walk or something like that. And, you know, just kind of talk. I do a lot of talking with them. You know, I'm just make sure they're happy and, you know, talk about what's going on in their lives. And, you know, I just always worry that, you know, something's happening that's not supposed to be happening. You know, these days with bullying and all that, you know, you worry about that. And, so I just try to keep really close to talk with them and try to keep an open line of communication to where they know they could talk to their dad and tell me anything, you know, and I could help them work through it. You know, but they're like my buddies. They're really my best friends, really. So it's really cool. But I think we're definitely going to get out there more and do things with the RCs though, for sure. I would say probably this summer coming up, we'll get out there and do some crawling and come and join you guys in Linda Vista and stuff like that. And, just get reinvested with the, community again out there and have them exposed to my kids and have them meet all you guys and, meet your guys' kids and hang out. And, that'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It'll be a blast, man. We'll get you a kids' day or something, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, you can bring out some of your products out there and, you know, promote it. And, you know, hey, yeah, we're doing more than just, you know, your JG Customs now. We're doing this.
Right.
You know, we can get if we do it with time, you can get a pretty big group out. You know, if you have an event and you plan it and you give people enough time, they'll come out, you know.
So right.
If that's awesome, something you're interested in, you know, definitely hit us up. Well, we can get something organized and have a JG Custom crawl out at Linda Vista, you know, kid friendly, you know, get everybody involved once again.
That'd be awesome, Edgar. I appreciate that. That means a lot, man. I'll definitely take you guys up on that. That's a great way, I think, to get back into it heavily. And that'd be a lot of fun, man. That'd be a lot of fun.
I also remember that you did an RC event with Mini Losis with RC North Cal at the Mopitas Christmas. And I remember you did it at a car show also. What other events have you done?
Yeah. Yeah. So we've done, you know, City of Milpitas has been really supportive. They've been great, actually. So they put on like about 3 or 4 events a year. And we've done that for the last, I think, 3 years or so with them. And it's just crazy. The 4th of July is always the big one. Oh, my God. I think it was like 15 or 20,000 people. It was crazy. And we basically, they basically hire us to come out and we bring 10 RCs out and, you know, 20 battery packs and, you know, parts. And because, you know, the, obviously the first time most people are driving is then, you know, and a lot of parts are breaking, but we have like three guys repairing the cars as fast as possible and charging somebody charge one or two people charging the batteries and one to two people maintaining the track, you know, making sure, you know, when they crash, we pull the car off the wall and get it going straight again for the next 2 seconds. And it's a lot of fun, man. But no, it's really cool. We got to, you know, meet a lot of parents and a lot of kids, and the events were a lot of fun. And we look forward to doing those again this year. You know, those are good times. I mean, they had like a ton of vendors out there, you know, I don't mean like maybe 8 or 9 food trucks. And they had a video game truck out there and a wall climbing thing and the RC's track, which we did. And I mean, it was really cool. And I mean, I couldn't believe how many people came out. It was just, it blew me away. But it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So those events were really fun with the city of Milpitas. And they, you know, they reached out to us through email one day through the website. And that's how it all started. And it's been fun. I mean, it's been fun. It's a lot of work, but it's also a lot of fun. You know, and RC NorCal, God bless him. He moved, unfortunately, to Texas. But he was a big part, huge part of our events, you know, with the building of the tracks and, you know, maintaining it. And he just always showing so much love to myself and JJ Customs. And, you know, it just a great person, you know, someone I really love.
Yeah, so. No, when I heard the news that he was moving, I was devastated. He was actually one of the first guys that actually welcomed me over to the RC part of the, you know, the RC world, where he was putting on bashing events.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, he was actually him and Ryan Gray was one of the first guys that I actually met in RC.
That's
and
awesome.
Then, that's when I got. Yeah. And yeah, he was so welcoming. He was just like, dude, just launch it off this ramp as high as you can, as fast as you can. I'm like, what? I'm like, dude, $1,000 rig. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, dude, just break it. It's fine. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there, you know, you got this X-Max that's, you know, that I just dumped a bunch of money on. And I'm like, wait, you want me to break this thing off of like a 100-foot, you know, jump? That's crazy. And, you know, after a while you get used to it. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. As I said, I've never met anybody like him. Like, you know, because like you said, you know, you just spent like $1,000 on this thing and you want me to break it? What? Like, you know, and that's how Ant was. He loved breaking it. Not even that breaking it, but he loved, maybe he did love, but I don't know what exactly, but he loved launching those cars and destroying them.
Pushing it to as far as it can take.
Oh, dude. The man, he's a legend, dude. Like stuff that I would never even think about. Like I'm always babying my stuff. So it costs a lot of money. It's hard to make the money to get to, you know, to do it. And he's an animal, man. I love that, you know?
Yeah, it was fun, man. It's fun. It sucks. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to be doing great things out there in Texas, but I mean, yeah, he's going to be missed out here for sure.
Definitely. And he knows that, you know, I talk to him on Instagram almost every day. And love what he's posting. He's doing the RC life out there, like immediately, you know, hooking up with the people and doing his thing. And you know, he's a great people person. I mean, like, I'm so happy that he was one of the first people that you met, because he's just so embracing on getting into the hobby. You know, he's just a good person, man. He just has a big heart. He just has a big heart.
Yeah, he does.
And
great person, dude.
He is, dude. He's solid. He's definitely solid people. Definitely solid people. And the events he put on were always fun, and they always drew in people, and people were always smiling and laughing. And I always just loved going to see what they would do to their cars. I was like, oh my God. Like, I can't believe he's jumping a limit like 100 feet.
Yeah, that was nuts. I mean, he was doing things that you didn't, you're like, the stuff that he would do was just mind blowing. Like, what?
Yeah, totally. You know? Totally.
But it was like, fun, dude. I mean, I think that's part of the hobby. You know, if you break your car and you're leaving with the smiles because you had a good time.
Right. I totally agree, man. I totally agree. Yeah. And doing it by yourself, you wouldn't have a smile on your face. That's what's so good about the group, you know, because everyone's laughing together. Yeah. It's just, it's cool, man. It's a great vibe. It's a great vibe. Thank you. Hey, guys.
Does the thing freeze?
Can you hear me?
You still there, buddy? Juan.
Hello? Yeah.
Oh.
I think it just disconnected.
I think it, JJ got caught off there. We'll just call him back, and then I guess we just get kind of, please hold for technical difficulties.
My phone over
getting
shut down.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually trying to cool it down right now so I can get back on with you guys. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you can, we can do it. I mean, I can hear him perfectly clear if you want to do a closing statement with him on the cell phone.
It's showing that I'm on there, but I don't see anything happening.
We can hear you fine from here. You can finish off here.
Okay, does that work?
Yeah, let me see.
Just state that there, you know.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
We could finish here.
Yeah, sounds good, man. I don't think you can hear me because you have your headphones on.
No, I took them off right now.
Oh, okay,
can
cool.
You hear him, Jason?
Oh, yeah, I can hear both of you.
Oh, nice, nice. Right on, dude.
I'm sorry about that, guys.
Oh, no worries, man. That happens. You know, technology is always a double-edged sword. It's always good or it's bad or, you know, you can never really count on it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, my apologies.
But yeah, man, like I was telling Juan, you know, we want to thank you for being on the show. And, you know, we definitely want to do a follow up and see how you, you know, how your your other companies are going to, you know, we'll kind of record how they're going to grow. You know, so maybe like another, you know, year or so, you're like, oh, you remember that first podcast? And now we're like, oh, shit, you know, you got this, you know, this company's growing X amount. And, you know, we'll document some of the your growths.
That'd be great, Edgar. That'd be great. I'll definitely make sure that we I'll contact you guys and we'll get an event going for sure for Red Linda Business. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, let's plan on it. Like, we'll get all the planning done and we'll start. We'll give people at least a month or two ahead, you know, ahead of time, so they can really make some
adjustments in the plans.
Yeah, and then that way we can have a good, you know, a good turnout.
I'm down. I'm excited.
Well, again, Jason, thanks for being on the show. And again, congratulations on your 10 years, man. It's a huge accomplishment.
Thanks, Edgar. That means a lot. Hopefully another.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, be on the show. And any news you want to talk about real quick before we finish?
Yeah, no. I just wanted to really take a second to congratulate you guys doing your podcast, and I think that's a fantastic thing, and it's great for the community, and it's people like me, and just really excited for you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
No problem, guys. I'm for you guys if you need anything, and I always wish you guys the best of luck.
Likewise, man. Again, if you need anything on our end, let us know. You know, we're always here. We're happy to help.
Thanks, Edgar. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Ron, brother, we have a blessed Sunday. And again, thank you for everything you do for the RC community.
Anytime, brother. It's my honor and pleasure.
Thank you, Jason. Definitely have fun with the family. Head of the family.
You guys come here. Want you guys too. And have a great day with the kids.
We'll do. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Right,
have a good day.
Thank you for joining us in another episode of RC Cars and Coffee. Did you get the trailer you're aching for? If so, join us next time for more RC wisdom and pro tips. Till then, happy growling!